God, you are worthy of it all, Jesus. So worthy, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus, of all praise. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father, for all that you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated real quietly. Hallelujah. Won't keep you long. I believe in ministering too long. People only can sit down for a while. Last week how many of you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 this week? All right, that's good. We started on Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where it said, judge not. We're just going to recap and then go back on to another part of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Again, if I misquote a verse, I don't have the Bible in front of me. I got to rely on what I can remember until I completely see perfectly. We started out with judge not lest ye be judged. Remember that? With what measure you judge, it shall be measured back to you. This is another part of that. And Jesus was talking to believers when he said that. He said, judge not, lest ye be judged. With what measure you judge, it shall be measured back to you again. And why? Now listen here, it just hit me today that he asked a question. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam in thine own eye? A beam is bigger than a mote. A mote is a little piece of wood. A beam is a beam. A beam is what holds this roof together. Listen to what he said. He said, judge not. Who's got their Bible and they can open up Matthew 5 real quick? Anybody? I'll quote it. It's all right. Matthew 5, judge not. Actually, he said, and seeing the multitude. No, never mind. That's Matthew 7 where I'm at. He said, judge not. Listen to me carefully. Judge not lest ye be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you again. Listen to what he said. He said, why? If I ask you, Sandy, why? Am I asking you a question? Why, Sandy? Jesus asked a question to his disciples. And why do you behold the mote in your brother's eye? Because it's not the beam in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me pull out the mote in your eye when you yourself, you can't even see the beam that's in your own eye. Then what did he say? You what? You hypocrite. Do you know why he asked? Do you know why the brother with a beam judged the brother that had a mote in his eye? Or do you know why he asked that question? Why, Homer? Why do you behold the mote in Alex's eye? Well, you don't consider the beam in your eye. Do you know why he asked us that? Do you know why he asked me? You know why he said, you hypocrite? Why do you behold Mackenzie's darkness, Homer? Well, you don't consider the own beam in your own eye. Why, Homer? Why? You know why? I'm beholding your weakness. You know why? Because I'm judging you. The very thing he asked me not to do, I did. For he said, you hypocrite. And in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he addressed three kinds of people. He addressed brothers, he addressed enemies, and he addressed false prophets. And it's sad, though, because Matthew 5, 6, and 7, its entirety and its context, is really talking to our enemies. But the church can't even get along with their very own brothers in the body of Christ. That's sad that Matthew 5 and Luke 6 is a small, I don't know yet if it is. I can't say if Luke 6 is an abbreviated 5, 6, and 7. I don't know if it's shortened up. I don't know if it's compacted into one chapter. I don't know if it's 6 and Matthew 5, 6, 7 is the same thing. I don't know. It might be. But you know, in context, which I preached this about 6, 7 months ago, that really it's making a reference to our enemies. that hate us and despitefully use us. But we can't even get over each other in the church. I've been saved 20-something years, and my problem has always been with believers and vice versa. I very seldom have a problem with an enemy outside. So we don't even really qualify yet for Matthew 5. That's sad. That Jesus said, you know what he's after? And I beg you to pay attention. I beg you. I won't keep you long. I don't preach long. He's after more than just people that believe in him. He's after disciples. A disciple is a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5, and again, I'm just going by the best that I can remember in the scripture. The Bible says that Jesus said, in looking at the multitude, now look this way. Somebody just gave me $1 million. Only I know what that means. My day has just been made. Jesus is after disciples. He said, and looking up at the multitude, he sat down, and Jesus said, and his disciples came to him. And he said unto them, He said, Jesus, looking at the multitude, went up into a mountain. His disciples came unto him. And he opened up his mouth and he taught them. I put myself on that mountain. And I come here at 4:00 in the church. I sat there and I began to pray. I began to think about people. And I called a few people that I hadn't seen in a while that I really missed. And I called them, 2 or 3 people. If we can't love each other, if I can't love you the way he loves you, I can't do nothing for the kingdom. Jesus is looking for disciples. For disciples that live like he lived. The Bible said that Jesus, seeing the multitude, went up into a mountain. The disciples came unto him. He opened up his mouth and he taught them. So I put myself on that mountain, Alex, today. And I pictured Jesus in front of me teaching me. See, I don't read the Bible to preach it or teach it. I read the Bible to have it change me. And he opened up his mouth, Sandy, and he taught them, saying, it would be to our best interest. To our best interest, to put ourselves at that mountain and to picture ourselves, Sandy, looking up at this king, looking up at this royalty, this perfect man as a perfect prototype. It's to our best interest, Alex, to look up in that mountain and just be quiet and to hear these words of wisdom that Jesus is teaching me and you. And he opened up his mouth, Sandy, and he taught you. And he taught Renee. I don't know who else is back there. My sight ain't quite perfect. I know Barbara's back there. I see some other people in the back. I know who that is. And he taught Mackenzie. And he said, he's teaching me and you, blessed are the poor in what? Spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The first thing he taught his disciples, Mackenzie, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, Miss Sharon. What do you mean poor? A person that's poor in spirit is one that's lived his life as a sinner. Then they go to a little church somewhere. There's enough anointing and enough conviction where that sinner sits down and a tear comes down his eye, Sandy. And he says, my God, Lord, I'm not living right. The first thing that Jesus taught his disciples is, blessed, Mackenzie. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Before I got saved, I thought I didn't need anything. My dad was a hardworking man that provided everything for us. He gave me, I had an open tab at David's Lounge. I could get drunk all night long, run a $1,000 tab a month, and he would pay for the tab, so I'd get drunk. I had access to his accounts. I was 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. If I wanted to get $2,000 from his account, I'd have my wife transfer it to my account. And he wouldn't say nothing, because he didn't know any other way to love me. My dad had 14 brothers and sisters. Never told me growing up that he loved me. Never. So he loved me with money, with material things. I had access to that. I didn't need nothing. But then one day it hit me, Mackenzie. One day it hit me, my friends in the back. I got on my knees, Sandy, on my bed, and I cried like a little baby. I said, I can't live this lifestyle anymore. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mackenzie, I fell on my knees that day, on my bed by myself. I didn't love my wife. She didn't love me. I knelt down on my bed, and I said, Lord, I can't take this lifestyle anymore. I acknowledge that my lifestyle wasn't right. I acknowledge that I needed a change. That's what Jesus meant. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I bowed my knee that day. I said, I can't live this life anymore, Jesus. Then the next thing he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. First he said, to be poor in spirit. Then he said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Then he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Then he said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall what? Be filled. The first thing he taught his disciples was, blessed are the poor in spirit. Then he said, blessed are those that mourn. Mourn means to lament, means to cry. So I was like this, Mackenzie, on my bed. I said, Lord, I know if I die today, Father, I know I'll be in hell. I mourned that poor, broken state that I was in. Then he said, blessed are the meek. For what, Renee? For they shall what? No, that's number two. No, they shall inherit. No, that's number two. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Qualification one, you got to mourn. You got to acknowledge the state that you're living in is not right. He said, then don't just acknowledge that state. Mourn that state. God, I can't live like this anymore. After I mourn that state, he said, you're meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The first three things that he asked me to do had to do with him, me, and him. Me inheriting all that he was. I was in a broken state. God, I can't take my life anymore. I became teachable. God, I need a change. I mourn the state that I'm in, Father. I'm broken now, Jesus. I know if I die today, Jesus, I'd go to hell. I know I would, Jesus. I need a change in my life. I mourned. I was poor in spirit and I was meek. I needed a change, Jesus. I needed you in my life. I need a change. He said, that's the first qualification to inherit in the kingdom of God. You've got to be poor in spirit. You've got to mourn. You've got to be meek. You've got to show me that my ways are higher than your ways. He said, mourn the state you're in. Be meek about it. Be poor in spirit, and you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Then he said something so remarkable. He said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That verse was a prophetic verse. Can somebody answer the question as to what I'm making reference to? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What was he making reference to there? The day that he would die on the cross, ascend to heaven, the day that we would receive his spirit in me and you. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So he said, be poor in spirit. Mourn the state that you're in. Be meek. And you know what? Whatever he described is what I experienced, Miss Sharon, 20 years ago, because I got on my knees. Something had been burning inside of me to change my lifestyle. I fell on my knees and I began to cry. I said, God, I can't live like this. When I bowed my heart to him, I was meek. I was humble, saying, Lord, my lifestyle means nothing compared to your lifestyle, Lord. I need you in my life. And then I said, Lord, come into my heart. I was hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And when I said, come into my heart, what happened, Alex? He came to live inside of me. His spirit lived inside of me. And I became a son of the kingdom. The first three have everything to do with me being born of him. The next one, he says, blessed are the what? Merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the what? Pure in heart, for they shall be what? For they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be children of God. He said, be poor in spirit. He said, blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that meet. Those three things I had to do before I became a son of God. And once I became those three things in my spirit, I bowed my knee down. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. I hungered and thirsted after righteousness, and I was filled with him. Then after that conversion, then after I got saved, then he asked me to live a certain way towards my enemies. Not towards my... I mean, yes, I got to treat you the same way I treat my enemies. Then he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Then he asked me to live out of the ways of his kingdom. He showed me mercy when I was a sinner. I was no good, my friends. I was addicted to pornography. I was a piece of junk. I used to get my daughter drunk. I used to put beer in her bottle, have her drink it, have her walk around falling down, and I would laugh at her. But then I fell down to my knees. I said, Jesus, I can't live like this anymore. I was poor in spirit. I mourned the state that I was in. I was meek because I knew I needed the ways of somebody else. Then after out of that standing of me being a believer, he said, Homer, I've called you to be merciful now. To who? Towards everybody. Because Matthew 5, 6, and 7 says at the end of 6, as you would that all men do to you. What did he say? As you would that what? All? What did he say? All men do to you, so do ye unto them. He said, now that you're a believer, now that you're a believer, blessed are you, Homer. Blessed are the merciful. For you shall obtain mercy. Who am I to be merciful to, Jesus? Everybody. Brother in the church. Enemy outside the church. Then he said, blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall what? See God. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be children of God. After we're born of him, my friends. After he lives in us. He instructs us out of our spirit to be merciful. Be peacemakers. To be pure in heart. Towards who? Towards people. Towards people. If there's anything that God is teaching me right now, is not to hold a grudge towards anybody. See, because I was no good. If Jesus asked me to be merciful, if he asked me to be pure in heart, if he asked me to be a peacemaker, he's asking me to be exactly what he was as a man. I'm to hold no grudges. Now that you're born of me, Homer, now that you've hungered and thirsted after righteousness, I've filled you with my spirit. Now, Homer, out of that standing, if Alex does you wrong, Homer, I've called you, son, to be merciful. If Renee does you wrong, Homer, I've called you to be pure in heart towards him. If Sammy does you wrong, Homer, I've called you to be a peacemaker. When those outside the church do you wrong, Homer, I've called you to be merciful towards them. I've told you and called you to be pure in heart towards them, never holding a grudge. One man forgave me of my sin. I often looked at the Bible believing God for a miracle for my eyes. I thought 2 or 3 months ago that I was going to die. So I decided to spend 6 or 7 hours every day spend time with Jesus. And I did, Chad. Every day was so easy. Well, I don't know about the... I would do like 4.5 hours in the morning, the rest at night. Around the 5th hour, scratching here, scratching there. I didn't know what to do anymore, you know. I looked for the scriptures, looking at every miracle that Jesus did, Miss Barbara. I looked through the scriptures, studying the miracles to get my miracle. I wanted to see. I can see a lot better. I would go to the football games. And I love my boys. I love them. You know, Deidre and Jimmy, Jonathan, Macro, Mackenzie. I love them boys. Them boys are my life, you know, because they spend a lot of time with me. It would bother me that I couldn't see them. I couldn't see them playing. Elijah had to tell me, that was Macro, that was Deidre, he did that, that was Mackenzie, that was Jonathan. I'd have to have somebody do side by side with me. Not Julio, you don't know what he's talking about. But I would, gosh, I wish I could see that. And against one game, I think he was at Lake Wells. I said, who was that, Elijah? He said, that was DJ, that hit somebody hard. I said, and I cried a little bit. I said, my God, I got to see this. So I 6 or 7 hours a day, my kids had to read the Bible and hear it and looking for the miracles that Jesus did. If somehow I could find that secret formula to receive my miracle from God. But I found out that the miracle was in the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. That's the miracle. I found out that as I walk in mercy, as I walk pure in heart, as I'm a peacemaker with those around me, is where the miracle's at. If there's anything that I want to do, I want to walk according to the ways of heaven. Do I always know? But he's called me and you. If you're born again, you've met the poor in spirit requirement. You've met the mourning requirement. You've met the meek requirement. If you're born again, you've hungered and you've been thirsty after righteousness and you've been filled by the Spirit of God the day you got born again. Now, His Spirit cries out within me and you, be merciful, Homer. Be pure in heart, Homer. Be a peacemaker, Homer. Towards who, Jesus? Towards anybody. Towards anybody. You know, as men, we got pride in our life. There was something that happened, nothing major. It's like part of me was missing because the person that I love dearly, me and my whole family, I love dearly. And I had to remember the scriptures. The person that I love dearly that was at our house a lot, I missed this person. He hadn't been around and I missed the person. And I missed it. And I really missed him a lot. Just like a man misses his own kids, I missed that person. And so the pride in me wants to rise up and say, that's fine. But Jesus in me, kept saying, oh, you know you love him. Tell him you love him. Lord, what if he ignores me? Tell him you love him because I did and I do. But Lord, I did it again, Lord. Tell him you love him. And I began to notice that I was growing in my life with God because I wouldn't have done it 2 years ago. But he wants me and you to be like that with every single body on the face of this earth. when they hate us, you know what he says to me and you? Be a peacemaker. When they revile us, he says, be a peacemaker. When they steal from us, he said, be a peacemaker. When they talk about you, he says, be merciful. When they slander you, he says, be pure in heart. That's the only way we're ever, ever going to win over this world. We can't act like the world to win the world, but we got to act like sons and daughters that live, that are from another world. And that world that we're from is heaven, my friends. We got to conduct ourselves by the ways of our Father. And the ways of our Father is to be merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. When we can act like that, we will win this town for this man named Jesus Christ. The only time that we're to be talked about is because we live our life wholeheartedly for Jesus Christ. If I told you I knew how I was going to die, that's why I know I'm not going to die of this sickness. I know how I'm going to die already. I know. I've seen it in 2 or 3 dreams already. And it ain't going to be a sickness, my friends. And it ain't going to be a sickness. There's few of us in this youth group now, maybe 15 of us. He said we could be one of the largest youth groups in town. But we got kids that are so hungry now. And I'm asking you, spend the night in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Because in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he's teaching me and you how to be disciples. He doesn't just want believers. He wants disciples. He wants ambassadors. In closing, the way we operate, really and truly, you're not of this earth. The day you give your life to Jesus, you are from another world. On the contrary, we're aliens, really. What we walk in is mercy, pureness of heart. We're peacemakers. You know who else was merciful and a peacemaker and pure in heart? You know who else was? The one that asked me to do the same. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's looking for disciples. He's not looking for those that act like the world. He's looking for young men and women like, not young, well, so, to spend those nights reading Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Don't even try to understand it. Just read it. Put it in you over and over again. You'll begin to grasp it slowly but surely. He also said, judge not, lest ye be judged. You know who else he was making reference to for me and you not to judge? Our enemies. We have no right to judge them. Because I was once the enemy of God. On the contrary, he didn't judge me, but he gave me what? Everlasting life. He showed me mercy, Sandy. He was a peacemaker. He was pure in heart. He didn't judge me, but he loved me and gave me of his son. Said, Homer, when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled with what, God? With my spirit. And out of that standing, he's calling me to be merciful, pure in heart, and a peacemaker. Out of that standing, cut the lights off real quick. Y'all get the McKenzie right there. Who's in the back? Y'all get the lights on the side, somebody? Pretty please, one on the other side. Yeah, the ones in the back. Who's back there, Jimmy or D. Joslin, who's that? Is there someone on the side there? Get them on the side, McKenzie. By the speaker. Jesus, listen to me. No, go ahead and cut them off, cut them off, cut them off. Jesus told me and you in that teaching. He said, you are the light of this earth. He said, a city that's set on a hill, he said, it cannot be hid. This is what society's after. They're looking for a light. When Jesus said, "You are the light," he's saying a person that's the light of this earth, you're a person that walks in mercy. You're pure in heart. You're a peacemaker. When society looks for us, they shouldn't see what we see right now, darkness. When Jesus said, "You are the light of the earth," he's saying, "I'm looking for people that are merciful, that are pure in heart, that don't judge, that love, that live out the ways of my kingdom." That you are the light. See, you can be way in the back and you can see this light. It's shining. He said, you ought to be, your lifestyle should be so evident. It should be just like a light that all of society should know that you belong to me. He said, you are the light of this earth. See, light shines in the what? Darkness doesn't shine in darkness, but light shines in darkness. He wants me and you to light, to shine like this light in darkness. What is darkness? Society. Those that, go and turn the lights back on, please. Those that don't know Jesus, he said, you're going to win them over by being different than they are. You can't win them over by being dark in a dark age, but you got to be light in the darkness. So how am I the light? How am I distinguished where everybody can see that I belong to him? When he says be merciful, I'm merciful. When he says be pure in heart, I'm pure in heart. When he says be a peacemaker, I'm a peacemaker. When he says don't judge, I don't judge. That's when society knows that I belong to him and that I am the light that is set on a hill. Other than doing what he asked me to do, I'm nothing. I'm salt that has no taste in it. Good for nothing but to be cast down and thrown under the feet of men and thrown away. He's looking for disciples. Men and women that will give their lives to him. He's calling you, my friend. He's calling you. Give him those extra 10 minutes every night. Give him those extra 10 minutes before you go to school. During lunch, go by a tree, open up your Bible. Read Matthew 5, 6, 7. Pray in tongues. Worship the Lord. He's not just looking for believers. He's looking for disciples. Young men and young women that want to be taught by Jesus. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's what he's called me and you. He's called us to read the whole Bible, but right now I'm going to be on 5, 6, 7. If I am, if you consider me your pastor, then I ask you as your pastor to read that. Discipleship 101. Be merciful. Be pure in heart. Be a peacemaker towards who? Jesus. Towards everyone, but in context. To those that hate you and persecute you and revile you. Let me rephrase. We're to be like that to everybody because we're sons of God. When I was addicted to crack and addicted to pornography, piece of junk, drunk, I never heard an accusation from him. On the contrary, the day I gave my life to him, I'm sure there's a tear went down his face saying, "My son came home." When his son came home and gave his life to Jesus, then Jesus says, "Now, son, I'm asking you to live out of that standing." What standing? That I am your God. I'm asking you now, son. The way I showed you mercy and welcomed you in, I want you to show those on the outside. Mercy, son. They're going to hurt you, son. They're going to betray you. The day might come where they even might kill you. The day might come where they might kill one of your children. But his standing, his word, is holy and undefiled, and it's settled in heaven. He said, be merciful. Before Jesus died on Calvary, even to his last breath, he showed mercy. To who? Towards one of the ones that was crucified next to him on the cross. So he took his last breath, he took one home with him. He said, surely today you shall be with me in paradise. He's calling me and you today, my friends. He's calling me and you today to live our lives like Jesus lived it. Seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples, or those that wanted to know him, came unto him. He opened up his mouth and he taught them, saying, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I ask you today, as your friend and as your pastor, to partake of Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and pray in tongues throughout the day. Pray in tongues at football practice. Pray in tongues in the commode. Pray in tongues as much as you can. He'll change you, mold you, and mend you into his image. Amen. Before we go home tonight, we are a family. I don't care how good you've been doing, how bad you've been doing, or you know, God's so happy that you're here today. See, that's the thing. God is so misunderstood. He's so misunderstood. He doesn't have a legal pad and a cross pen writing down everything you did wrong yesterday. He's in heaven telling the Father, Father, they're here today to worship you, Father. And I can't picture God the Father telling Jesus, yeah, Lord, but you know what Sandy did. No. Father, they're here to worship you today, Lord. They're beat up, they're battered, and they're bruised, they're confused. But they're here, Father, to hear your word. Just to see the Father in heaven. He's excited that you're here tonight. He's so excited that you're here tonight. And I am too. Because I believe this youth group is going to be one of young ladies and young men that don't care about their life. That all they care about is bringing glory to the Father. That's what this is about.